Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut and the Clock. It's Wednesday at noon, so it is Hut and the Clock, our very favorite time of the week. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, we're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joins us now. Hutton, always appreciate our chats with you. A little bit of news coming out from the Titans just now. Christian Fulton has just been placed on IR. Going into this season, I thought this is such a critical year for Christian Fulton. Just prove that you can stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy all season long. Now out for at least the next four games. Hutton, doesn't it seem like it's pretty inevitable the Titans are moving on from Christian Fulton after this year when his contract is up at the end of the season?
Yeah, I get that. I get that sense. I got that sense of the preseason, quite frankly, Caroline. And it just because of the, you know, he was contemplating whether or not he wanted to be out there during some mandatory work, voluntary work, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to send a message that he knows it's his final year. The agent is sending the message as well. And he's a guy that they directly mentioned, Vrabel specifically mentioned, along with David Long Jr. with the soft tissue injuries. And there was a point in the season, though, I thought Christian Fulton was trying to turn a corner. I thought he had a good camp when he came out and played. And there were a handful of games, a handful of weeks ago, where he played okay. You know, he was trying to be more consistent. And then there's the injuries again. It has plagued his career. It doesn't mean it will plague it moving forward. I just don't feel as though the Titans see value in a guy. If they didn't see value in a guy trying to find an extension mm-hmm. prior to his contract expiring, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to negotiate against others that would be bringing him in looking for something that fits more of his skill set and probably thinks they can do more with him than what the Titans did.
Repeat offenders, and he is one of them. The Titans did what I thought there was a likelihood of about 0.0001% chance of happening, and that is going to Miami and beating Miami, especially right. when you're down 14 with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. What do you think you learned about the Titans on Monday night?
Well, I mean, we learned that let's go back a couple of weeks, guys. We learned that the Vrabel message is sticking within that locker room, and that's I think that it sounds, you know, okay, cliche, whatever. Look at their record. This is now back-to-back games, though, that have been crazy. And we led off last week's discussion saying the Titans did everything they could to win the game against Indy and then didn't. Bad teams find ways to lose games. And in this case, they found a way to win. And down 14, 3.5 to play. I mean, the Titans had 39 fourth quarter points all season entering the fourth quarter Monday night. And they scored more fourth quarter points in the game than they had in their previous four games combined. They scored 15 or more inside the fourth quarter for the first time since January 2nd of 2022. It's been a while. And I think also that there's a fire within Will Levis that you like to see. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to learn to slide, all of that. But I like the fact that they showed that they can be down a few scores. They can find ways to lose games after playing as well as they did against the NFL's top offense. And they did it through the Vrabel mentality. I like the fact that Vrabel was aggressive, going for two after the first touchdown. All of that played into the old Vrabel way. And we have not seen that in a while. We saw it on Monday night.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton. And Jonathan, I mean, again, we go back to this game and we look at it. And you know, everybody, I told the crew, listen, the tail of Vrabel gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It seems like it's going to be to sure. a point where, you know, they're going to be hearing about Vrabel every corner of the earth, you know, eventually. But I look at that game, and that game wasn't about Vrabel. It really wasn't. I think Vrabel's a good coach. It didn't change anything in regards to what I thought about him. Whether they lost that game or won that game, I still think he's a good coach. But sure. it did change for me a little bit how I saw Tim Kelly, because I believe the game ball should have went to Tim Kelly, because Tim Kelly did a masterful job at not trying to chase plays, not getting overly excited. Now, the game wasn't perfect by any means. I understand that Titans tried to lose it at one point, but Miami basically said, no, we don't want it here. You can have the game. But what Tim Kelly did, even through all of that, he stayed within the framework of the offense. He still tried to run the football. Tajay Spears, I think that may have been his best game all season.
Yes.
And he will continue to get better. But I just think that Tim Kelly isn't getting enough of the credit. And I'm sure he doesn't care about it. But when you look at the big scope of things, this had nothing to do with Vrabel. I think it had everything to do with Tim Kelly and making sure he didn't allow his team or his offense or the quarterback to try to chase points or think they had to do more than what they had to.
Yeah, I mean, and they had the turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, which – and they got away with that. And you know, they gave up the points late in all of that. They had the pick six, the fumble by Levis. Look, going back to Tim Kelly, it should not be forgotten the Titans, they had that 69-yard drive in 28 seconds to get a field goal right before halftime. And on that drive, they targeted their guy. I like the fact that they target DeAndre. 26 targets for DeAndre Hopkins over the last 2 weeks. And he had two catches for 67 yards on that drive right before half. So they and also, Mace, you may recognize this much more than us. I can't find the stat. But the Titans, when the Titans, they win and went empty formation, I felt like more than they had all season. And I think that benefits the arm of Will Levis. They're letting it fly. They're not abandoning the run game. They're using Spears as an extension of the run game through the pass, like on that screen that set up that drive at the end. But Henry had the lowest amount of yards we've seen him have with 17 or more carries. So it's they're not abandoning that aspect, but that was going nowhere. And here's the other aspect. While we're still waiting on Treylon Burks and whatever else is going on with that, Chigakonkwo, he's catching the ball. He had a season-high 5 catches. He's gone over 40 yards in 3 consecutive games. He has 153 yards in the last 3. I like what I've seen in that as well. And, again, it's a one-game come-from-behind thriller late in the fourth quarter. It doesn't erase what we've seen, but I like the fact, I take away from the game that the team is still buying into what they're being sold, and that's a good thing considering all the change that we've seen last year and what we're going to see this year.
Yeah, and I think, and that's what I wanted to see from this team against Miami, because listen, realistically, playoffs are basically out of the picture. A lot of things will have to happen for the Titans. They will have to win the remainder of their games and have to other teams will have to lose because they even lose tiebreakers in some situations. But I think this team and what I wanted to see was, what are guys playing for? Because you know you don't have the playoffs out there. Are you playing for your contract? Are you playing for the guy next? What are you playing for? I don't want to see guys loafing. I don't want to see guys, you know, not being in tune with the game. And I didn't see that this last game, which tells me, guys, even though the playoffs are far from happening, guys are finding things to play for, which is a good thing. Now, Treylon Burks, I am extremely, extremely disappointed. Not necessarily in Treylon Burks. I'm not. I mean, we've had people call in here. Yeah, we have people calling here and said he's trash. I'm like, no, unless you play that position, and I mean this, unless you play that position, you can't tell me a guy's trash when you're not even targeting the guy. I'm watching film of whatever they put out, and it's like you're running clear-out routes. How are you going to have your first-round draft pick?
What does that mean, Mace? You pointed that out. What does that mean?
It means he's not a part of the offense. Like, decoy. Basically a decoy. If you're open, wide open, we'll throw it to you. But other than that, we're going to throw it to anybody else but you. You are the guy that's going to clear everything out because you're the biggest, you're the strongest, and you're the fastest. And they got to honor that. But we're going to give it to everybody else underneath. And to me, they got to find a way to get this young man in the game. I'm not going to say anything bad about Treylon Burks anymore until they find a way to get him in the game to prove me to me he's not worthy to be a guy that they can depend on.
I agree that he needs some targets. Let me play devil's advocate. Chris Moore finds a way to get himself in the game. They're still going to Chigakonkwo. They're going to the running back out of the backfield. They're targeting their veteran, DeAndre Hopkins, who continues to make plays. And if he reaches 1,000 yards, it's going to be something we haven't seen in a while since A.J. Brown. And prior to that, Kendall Wright had 1,000 yards in 2013. Mm-hmm. It's just the second wide receiver to do so since 2013, if he reaches 1,000. Let's see, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine nearly had a touchdown, had the two-point conversion. I mean, they're spreading the ball around. Where the hell is Treylon Burks in all of this? Like, at some, he's got to get himself in the game, doesn't he? I mean, he's got a rookie quarterback. He's throwing it and he's spinning it and he's spraying the football all over the field. Mm-hmm. If Burks is on the field, surely he gets more targets than just being ignored.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but there's only one football. See, this is why, you know, when receivers do certain things, I don't mind. You know, you say receivers are divas. They are. Why? Because there's only one football. And on a pass play, you may not get that football, and you may be wide open, but because the play is not geared towards you, you're not going to get it. To me, they need to make a effort, like a concerted effort. I don't want to listen to Vrabel anymore get on the podium and say, well, we threw him a quick screen and, you know, we tried to get him the deep ball. He was running hard. He's playing hard. You know, we just – well, if he's running hard, he's playing hard, he's doing blocking the things that you're asking, blocking well, then honor the dude. Make it a priority. Make it a damn priority to get this man the ball so you can understand going into the draft what we need and what we don't need. At this point, I don't know if they need another receiver beside D-Hop or not, because they're not giving him an opportunity. I've seen it before. I've been a part of it before. And if you don't get this man, you know, into the game, he's going to lose all confidence. Like, he's going to continue to play hard, but it's like, man, I'm doing all of this, but y'all are not rewarding me for it. You're saying all these good things, but you're not rewarding me for it.
At what point do you speak up if you're Treylon Burks?
And that's the conversation that we had yesterday. He's not – the bad part about it is
– he's not that guy.
He's not – yeah, he doesn't have that. I don't think that's his mentality. I would have went in there and be like, you need to give me the damn ball. Like, I would have went to the coaches. Y'all need to give me the ball. Like, seriously. But he's not in a position to do that. One, because he's a young guy still. Two, you don't want to ruffle any feathers because D-Hop is there, and you don't want to seem like, you know, you're being selfish when, in fact, you're not being selfish. You just want to be involved. That's how they get away with it. Oh, you're selfish. No, I'm not selfish. I want to be involved. That's all. So yeah. He just doesn't have the skins on the wall, let's say, to go
well,
in there
okay.
and say, I just need the ball.
Just real quick, though, and some will hate this comparison. Some will be like, you're dead on. A.J. Brown didn't have the skins on the wall. Mm-hmm. He just went up and took it and demanded it behind the scenes. And then publicly, too, whenever he would have a bad game, he would follow it up with a good game. And he would be the alpha, and he would show up week to week. Like, he's always
but that's
going
his
to be
personality.
To that guy.
That's A.J.'s personality. That was my personality. That's not Treylon Burks' personality to go and say, I want the football. That's not his personality. He's not going to, at least that's what I believe is not his personality.
Well, D-Hop's not that way either. He's not vocal publicly, but he shows up and produces and has done so as a first round pick. Same Burks is the same in the same boat there. Again, I don't know what he has or has not said behind the scenes, but I do know if a receiver's pissed off, look around the league this year. Anytime someone says, I want the damn ball, they get it. CeeDee Lamb's the most recent example, and he's gone off for three consecutive weeks after he did that midway through the season. Again, there are the haves and the have-nots at the position, and, I mean, the Titans are dying to have, at best, a number two guy. It didn't have to be number one. Hopkins is that guy. First and foremost, he's got to be on the field. He's on the field now, and I'm with you. He's got to get more targets than what we're seeing. But I don't know if it's the fact that he's just in the doghouse and they're refusing to throw him the football, because I think Will Levis will spin it to him if he's open.
Hutton, hate that we have to cut our visit short this week. We do have to get to Mike Vrabel's press conference, but appreciate your time nonetheless, and we'll chat next week. We'll make up for lost time next week.
No, it's all good. I look forward to listening. I was listening earlier. I love the show, guys, and have a great rest of the week.
Appreciate it, Hutton. You too.